Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dan.
How's it going, guys?
Well, you know that rat that I that I mentioned in the previous podcast?
That's familiar.
It's back. 4 times now, I've seen it trapped in that same
How do you
hole.
Know it's the same rat?
Well, it might not be the same rat, but I'm not giving rats enough credit.
You should have been like, it responds to the name Michael.
I presume it's the same one, but it could be a different one, couldn't it? I just think rats probably aren't clever enough to think, oh, I'm not doing that again. But yeah, it just always looks at you like a little bit embarrassed, like,
I can't believe
it's happened again.
It's been another week in isolation for me, working from home, looking at people's faces on Skype. I'm unwilling to sit down, so the angle of my webcam constantly makes me look terrible. And that picture is then all I see of myself, and it's really starting to get me down.
What gets you down more, though, your lack of a lampshade or the angle of your camera?
I think we could do 2 birds, 1 stone by changing the angle to a better angle, right? Because then you wouldn't see the light fitting anymore. But hey, everyone, go and check out the Super Late Night on Spotify, because Louis also has a great light fitting.
Yeah. So our mate Louis, the Super Late Night, has released his first single, Honey, which was released last Friday. It's everywhere. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify. It's on all good streaming platforms and some bad ones. I'm looking at you, Deezer.
Who uses Deezer? I don't let anyone.
I don't know. Okay. This is a message to you, Deezer. This podcast is not on Deezer because it was so annoying and complicated to work out how to get it on there. I lost my rag with it. So the country. So obviously, you got to say which country your podcast comes from. And they were listed, the names were in English, but they were listed in alphabetical order of the name of the country in its own language. So Germany was with D's because it's Deutschland.
K for no. X for xylophone.
P for pneumonia.
I can deal with it. So we're on Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher.
Honestly,
that's where you can get us.
Josh, you're a single man about town. Some people might say, right?
Just well, roll. Not about town in lockdown, but usually I am.
Yeah. A man at home alone.
That's me.
Just imagine this situation, right? Yeah. You know, you see a sexy lady, we're both in love with a sexy lady. you meet a sexy lady, you go, she's like, come back to mine, you're like, okay, that's all good. She goes, she's like, gonna put some jams on, you're like, she might put the 1975 on, but you see, she gets a phone out.
I'd hope so.
She hits up Deezer.
if that happened to me, I really don't think I'd be able to not mention it. I'd have to go like, who uses Deezer?
Babes, Deezer, come on.
The funny thing is...
free with your 3-year phone contract.
Yeah, what is its USP? I don't get what makes people go, oh, I'm going to go with Deezer.
If you're on 3 mobile, you get it free. Ah. You get something free. You don't even get like the full version free. Because my friend's got it and he only listens to it. But he's got... He's got.
Is it Simon?
He's got. It is Simon. Of course, it's Simon.
It's just.
You know it is.
Yeah, it just has to be Simon.
Check the address.
Exactly.
And he only listens to Deezer Flow, so he can start a song, but after that, every time it plays like song radio. And because he doesn't know his music taste well enough, apart from the initial song he wants to play, it just plays him like insanely random stuff.
Terrible.
It plays, what's that band called? The Young and the Naked and Famous.
Oh, yeah, I like them. I've seen them live.
They're the only decent band that it plays. Deezer Flow, it's called.
Is this relatable? I've got Lidl, I've got the £12.50 champagne back in. Whoop, Lidl!
You know what? I need to try a bottle of that. Well, a taste. Might turn into a bottle.
A bottle.
No, I
yeah. You can have you can make yourself an Aperol spritz with it, Matt, as soon as you've got enough of that to
fucking hell, aren't I just?
What have we been listening to in this week, lockdown week 6 or 7, whatever it is?
Well, as we've already established, I can't tell you what I've been listening to.
I'll leave it there.
I didn't know you were such a big Harry Potter fan.
Well, I have very much a pack mentality, so when someone invites me to be in their gang...
My grandma used to sing that song to me. How fucked is that?
You know what I've been listening to before we get into dangerous territory? Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne is one of the best songs ever.
You like Busted as well, don't you?
I'd love Busted. Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne is one of the best written songs ever. The chorus is in a different key. The bridge is in a different key. The production is amazing.
Yeah,
listen to it proper.
Guys.
Listen, Dan, listen with those fancy headphones of yours.
No, listen, I never had anything against Avril Lavigne, really. Especially because there was loads of like major pop punk people involved in her production and songwriting stuff. But I'm sure she was writing with Derek from Sum 41.
She married him.
She married him.
There you go. And I know Travis Barker played on some of her songs as well. So there is... you know, bits of credibility there. Or maybe they wanted money. But whatever, yeah. No, I think so. Right?
Honestly, Skater Boy, I can't... that song came out when I was 9 years old. And even at the time, I was like, oh, do you know what? It's a bit cheesy, this. But now, I'm 26, I'm listening like, God, this is phenomenal.
See, so me being 4 years ahead of you, right, when Avril Lavigne busted, it was felt like this new song would come on the radio and you'd be like, oh, what's this? This sounds good. Like it, like oh my god, it's busted! Set it up because you weren't allowed to like him because Matt Reeves' brother.
I had a bit of a similar situation the day when I had my Discover Weekly on, and we've all established where that Discover Weekly took me with one of the tracks, but it was Lost Prophets, people. Lost Prophets. Spotify doesn't know about Lost Prophets. But after that, another song came on. I'm like, oh, I'm enjoying this. Wonder who it is. So I get my phone out to check. Busted. I'm like, Spotify, you've had me over there.
I don't know how I feel about McBusted, you know.
What did you think of Son of Dog?
Bought their album.
Ticket out of Loserville. But also, I've been listening to...
Ticket out of Loserville. Oh. Eddie's song. Good songs. James Bond, talented songwriter.
Yeah, James is a very rich man now, and he's written for people.
Good
written
for,
with Ellie
Goulding. For him.
The talented guys. Tom Fletcher from McFly wrote on Year 3000 as well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Tom Fletcher's...
he's minted as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
They're all so straight edge, so they all like meet up. I used to watch Tom Fletcher's vlogs, and they all like meet up and drink like new varieties of coffee that they found and stuff. Like none of them drink.
I know what you're trying to say, but that's something like we do. especially you, Matt, when we were signing Piccadilly train station once and you were going on about coffee flavours and coffee notes and stuff like that. That's right. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm that guy, Anna. Sauce.
It's fine. You got a bottle of Verve Clicquot. You're okay.
Yeah.
Still cool.
Another band that I've been rediscovering. A former dirty hit, dirty Tentra Scousa, a former dirty hit alumni, General Fiasco.
Oh man, yes.
Is it really former dirty?
Yeah.
Thingy, they dropped on my running playlist the other day, and it was the Let's Get Wasted. What's that song called?
Ever So Shy.
Yeah, bro. I walked into Factory on my 21st birthday. Right, just as I got through the door after standing in the queue, that song just went, I was paying, and it was like, let's get wasted, all we ever do. And I was like, yeah, tonight's going to be a good night.
Right, should we get into it? Are we ready for it? Because it's a big one. It's a big one today. Oh, I got a bit emotional thinking about it actually earlier today that I knew what we were doing.
I'm not very familiar with it.
To be fair, it is like it's a big moment for us as a podcast, right? We've sort of built up to this moment a little bit. We've been through the EPs. We're deep into the album now. And it's time.
Maybe. Oh, I'll just do the intro then. So thank you everyone who has listened to the podcast, everyone from around the world. We appreciate it so much. You listen to us talk about the 1975 while we look at Dan's light bulb in his room. You can see right now on my screen.
I'm going to blur my background.
So yeah, you can tweet us at the 1975 pod on Twitter, or you can email us at politicplayitpod@gmail.com. Just, you know, anything you want to say about the 1975, any questions you want to ask us. And really, we want stories of how you first discovered the band, because that's what this whole era of the sort of podcast is about, the early days. So today we are talking about one of the biggest 1975 songs, Sex. And this is how it starts. Quick fact to start things off. If you search the 1975 Sex on YouTube, you will not get the video for the album version, because YouTube doesn't like searches for explicit words.
There you go.
There you go indeed. Yeah, so we'll just start off. This is my favourite ever song. Beat that.
Ever? Like, not 1975 song, ever song.
Yeah, ever. I think ever.
It's just a great song. I think it's
this. This, Disco 2000 and What's My Age Again are all. But I think this. Dan, you said that She Way Out was your music taste can, like, dense into one song.
It was. No, it is. It is. But, she, like, Sex is... It's my formative years, man. I don't know, like, I think when you're growing up, you think probably maybe your teenage years are going to be, but try discovering the 1975 when you're, like, 20 years old and you spend, like, 3 years going watching them. Mm. Like, Sex, oh my God. It was a game changer.
Absolutely.
From, and it's so weird, though, because we were in bands, and, like, so you can listen to Sex and you can go, yeah, I could play this. There's nothing really technically shocking about it. Do you know what I mean? It's not. Mm. But it's just absolutely rock solid.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's just the perfect sort of pop rock song. I just think it's sick. It has an edge. It's got credibility. And it's a real introduction into, like, Matt Healy's, like, sort of naughty lyrics as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Talking about getting tucked off and stuff. And it's just a bit, like, cheeky.
See, I don't think it is a, even though I think it's fantastic, I wouldn't say it's a typical Mr. Set, my computer wants to restart in 20 seconds. Not today.
Anyone would think you were using Windows there, lad.
I don't think it's really a typical rock pop song because of the verse structure.
Yeah.
As I've stated in previous podcast, generally you've in a pop rock song you get verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, something like that, don't you? Mm-hmm. Whereas this is just the structure of this is just A, B, C, D, so on and so forth, with the refrain of she's got a boyfriend anyway, which I think gives it an extra layer, which I feel like it's too good for their career at that stage. Like
at that point,
yeah, which again is something we've said before, but
we'd said it on the City, we said that it was
to even comprehend that sort of structure at that stage in your music career, I think is brilliant. It just shows the knowledge that they have as writers and the understanding of music and how you can structure a song which isn't just A, B, A, B, C, A, B.
I think, you was like, it was beyond the years of what they said, but it is just, it's not a complicated song in that, you know, the chords, like, I mean, what is it? What's the thing? It's like the 1-5-6-4 chord structure. They're playing with that but what, how it's produced, how it's written, like you say, the individual parts of it, like the bass line Ross is playing, he's not just following the chords.
Yeah, it's such a great bass
line. Yeah, like Dan, you said that like years ago when you were first playing like in gigs with them, you're watching like Ross and George and you were like, this isn't a usual rhythm section. This isn't the typical thing you'd see. And it's just that you know that like they're ahead of things, because just that little bit of Ross doing that, just that one sort of, in the verse, he's just playing that one note, really.
Yeah.
And then obviously when the chords change, he just drops to that. But it's just so good, the rhythm of it, the sort of timing of everything. I think every facet of this song to me is like peak this band. Now, I know it might not be, the musicality of it might not be like other things. Like, I think maybe Chocolate is more a typical 1975 song in the way the guitars work together. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's not quite as raucous as perhaps Sex is.
Yeah.
But I just think everything to me is just them at the top of the game.
It's just, if you've been driving a car on your own, or with somebody who likes the 1975 exactly as much as you, like you don't want to be the person who's more into it than everyone else in the car. So I'm saying, when you're on your own, right, you've got the windows open and you are like, she's got a boyfriend anyway, like, you felt it, man. And I don't care whether you're single or whether you're not, she has got a boyfriend anyway. Bitch.
Yeah.
Right, so let's go. Cool.
And we are jealous of him.
I'm jealous of him. Right, let's go way, way, way back. Maybe before you two had even seen them. So there's the video, isn't there, of Matty playing this on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Where is it, Matty? Somewhere in Manchester?
It's outside Manchester Central Library, St. Peter's Square. I think that's where it is. In fact, I will put £10 on that's where it is.
10 whole pounds.
It's 100% where it is.
That's like...
It's mad, isn't it? Because I bet... He would cringe to be in that. And, you know, I think, I can't remember what, it was for like a vlog or something before they existed. Like, it was really, YouTube wasn't a big thing. And I think to have been asked to have been featured on this thing, we sort of saw it as a huge deal. And I'm sure that back then Matt would have been like, yeah, of course we'll do it. And that's such a weird thing to think about, like the 1975 or Drive Like I Do back then, in a position where they were like, wow, you could change the game for us with your shitty
and it's not
video
like
channel.
Them controlling how their music's released as well.
Yeah they're like, oh, you want us to play acoustic on the steps of Manchester Library, cool, yeah with like drunk people walking past him and stuff.
He's got a boyfriend anyway.
It sounds really different though to that, because I know the song obviously like the arrangement changes slightly and stuff. We'll talk about the very early version, very early version in a bit. But it didn't really sound exactly like the Sex we get now, the Sex we hear now. And it's weird hearing just that strummed acoustic guitar. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're a bit more refined with the guitar playing there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the first studio version, what do you two remember of hearing that? So it'd be around the MySpace days, would it?
Yeah, I mean, it was, to me, it was more like Chocolate back then. Now it's a lot more driven, distorted and stuff, but like they were definitely recorded in the same session as Chocolate, Lost Boys. What is there, anything else that fits into that category, Junior, that were clearly, oh, Robbers,
Robbers,
they're clearly from the same studio and the same producer. They sound very like alike to each other, and it's very soft and accessible and quite poppy, and with much less edge than the Sex that you know today.
Mm.
And it had this chant in it, like, feel free to fade it under me.
It's like the way-o, way-o.
Like, what song do you think that was referencing back then? Like, from sort of...
I don't know, but it's so American, it's, isn't it? Though?
Yeah. Ayo, ayo, oh. And that was just, oh my God, when I was a kid, like my late teens, early 20s, like that was just like, yes, put me in a crowd at a festival and let me do that. So what I noticed way later, after watching LCD Sound System's DVD at the end of their band, when I was sort of never cool or credible enough to have really been interested at the time. But watching Shut Up and Play the Hits, if you've not seen it, is a great end of a band sort of moment. It's really weird. If you've been in a band and you watch it, you'll be like, oh, it's really, and they were so successful and the friends and family come. It's amazing. But from that, DVD, I clocked the LCD sound system song All My Friends, which starts with "This is how it starts," which is obviously the exact line that this song starts with. It follows, there's no chorus, as Matt said earlier. It goes through and, you know, just continues, but with do you call it a refrain? Is that what it's called when it's when stuff gets beat, but it's not really a chorus? So
yeah,
and they do that and say like, "Where are your friends tonight?" And it's chanted in the "She's got a boyfriend anyway" sort of way, like, "Where are your friends tonight?" It's sick, but there's so much of that song that is reminiscent of sex. I wonder how much. I'm sure they'd almost love for it for them to have been cool enough to be listening to LCD Sound System at like 15 and have written this song, being inspired by it. But I almost think they might have sneakily gone, "Oh, they're quite similar. I'm gonna add This Is How It Starts," the start of the song. To me, it's a clear reference. But I've never heard Matt being challenged on it or asked about it. I think that's such a failure of loads of journalists. Like, really not getting like deep in and not enough music industry knowledge to make that link. Don't know.
I think that's probably something of the time it was released, because I watched an interview with Matty from like 2013. And the guy spent the first minute of the interview asking if the band was called 1975 or The 1975. So I don't, maybe people weren't quite as interested back then as, you know, maybe they would be now.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I just would have expected those older people interviewing them to have been aware of LCD and Sound System. Was like, "Shit, you're using the same line there, and it's in that same key, and it's got the drone running all the way through it."
I was going to mention that.
That's part of the production. Like, that's Matty's guitar for massive, like, huge chunks of the song. He's just playing. It's a D5 chord, but he's just playing that. It's got a pedal note where it's just one note throughout. And he's just playing that, and then the chorus, like, it's like D, and then it's like A, B minor, and G go over it. Don't want to get too much into it, but yeah.
Music theory.
That is so effective, isn't it? And it's like, but I think it's weird that they, because around the time they were writing this, they probably thought of themselves as that sort of emo, post alternative rock sort of sound. And it's weird that they would be inspired by LCD Sound System, who were like an indie dance band, like an indie electronic band.
Yeah.
Like, and I'd have thought that the range of influences they had and the range of genres they're inspired by would have come later than the writing of this song. But I think it shows in the very early days that they were listening to all sorts, and they were like, "Right, let's take, you know, this from this genre, this from this genre, and make our music."
Which is the best way to make music, isn't it? Because, you know, don't be a carbon copy of someone else. So you take LCD Sound System's All My Friends, copy it completely, then it's go, "Oh, how can we make this a bit different?"
Do you know what I think? You know, just really quickly, I don't know if we'll keep this in, but there was a Kelly Clarkson song a few years ago, and loads of people were going on about it sounding like The Middle by Jimmy Eat World.
All right.
It's called Heartbeat Song. The chorus really does sound like it. And I was having a look at that, and it was written by a guy who was in a pop-up mang in the early noughties.
Googled
Mitch Allen from SR71.
I just googled "Sex, All My Friends." So, like, the 1975 song name and the LCD Sound System song name. And so this interview is from March 2013. I'm reading this live, but entered the 1975. A good, very young band from Manchester, England. This is Vice, by the way, did I say that? As of now, their most famous song by a fairly wide margin is called Sex. What's particularly interesting to me about this song is that it basically sounds like what would happen if a bunch of dudes from the northern part of England would try to turn LCD Sound System's All My Friends into a late period Kings of Leon song. Hey, so somebody else clocked it. It was a very, like, I swear, promise, it was a very organic moment for me when I heard this song. It was like, oh, no way! But it's certainly some people who clocked it before me then. But awesome.
I think it's funny that people, like, when they came out, I feel like they were really divisive, weren't they? I think people were quite quick to sort of jump on and be like, oh, they're a bit of a fad, these. I just don't think you'd get that sort of journalism about them now.
No.
Yeah.
People would just be like, oh, this is a great band, great song. Like, I really feel like if Too Shy had been released back in what, as like the first song, people would be like, oh yeah, lads from Manchester think it's the 80s, do they?
Yeah.
You just know it. You just know it would be that, don't you? Like,
further down on this Google search, I am 17 and I have not had sex yet. My friends all have. They are not lyrics.
Is that a comment on the article?
No, it's like a... Do you know, like, is it Quora or something? I don't know how you pronounce it. Like, question website. Like,
because
Yahoo,
but...
Yahoo Answers used to be, I think.
That is so funny, but Yahoo Answers.
Did you ever see the Yahoo Answers, like, famous meme where it was like, my husband's internet history is full of, like, pornography, but he says it was just a pop-up. Is this possible? And this guy writes like a couple of paragraphs on like, this is totally possible. Your husband's just got a virus. Don't worry about it. And like, you had to vote for the top answers, didn't you?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
On Yahoo Answers. And like, it's got like a million or something like upvotes as the top answer. So really? Like, so this guy's wife's just been like, oh, okay.
The best Yahoo Answers meme I've seen is where the title of the answer, because it used to be like a title and then like a sort of explanation afterwards, where it's like, is it wrong to hate certain races? And below it was like, yeah, I'm wondering if it's wrong or right to hate certain races, because I've been running the 10K for quite a while now.
That's brilliant.
Well, I don't know if
the black guy keeps beating you, so you hate him. Is that what it is?
the double switcher end.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like more if that would be someone just writing that joke, or if I like it more that somebody, it's not a joke and somebody's like being serious and that's just how they wrote it.
It's even similar in subject matter, really, to All My Friends. I know All My Friends is about mates, but they're both set in such a youthful place and just locked into growing up, and all those themes we've discussed before on previous podcasts of like loss of innocence and things like that. It's just great, man. I just think we've all been in that moment where you're just like, yeah, we're getting on. Yeah, we really click actually, but she's got a boyfriend. Like, and that's the song.
It's just such a great topic for a song of it. We'll get into it probably, lyrics, but it's like, for especially lads that age as well, it's just so like...
You can feel the tension as well. That's what I love.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel that tension that they both want to, but she's got a boyfriend. And it's just like that, off bucket. She's got a boyfriend anyway.
Exactly. To me, it's like a response as well to people that's like, yeah, you guys are getting on, aren't you? Did you give that girl a lift home the other night? So, like, what's going on there? Like, oh, no, she's got a boyfriend anyway. Like, do you know what I mean? They're just like, you can hear him saying, like, nah, she's got a boyfriend, man.
Let's not skip ahead to lyrics. let's talk about when you were first hearing it live. So, you heard the version with the way-o.
Yeah.
And then, did you hear it progress from that to more the sort of EP version of the song we got?
Yeah, I think when we were first seeing them live, we were almost doing that chanting and they weren't.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
It didn't to them.
Well, no, but if you...
So we'd go and see him and we'd be doing that. Just like in Chocolate. Remember we was doing those offbeats in Chocolate?
Yeah.
We didn't mention this last time. Which bit would you go?
Go,
go, get it, go, get it, go,
go,
go, go, go, go, go, go. And he'd be going, get it, because he was saying, go get it, go get it. And it was like this really, hey, put this in to the chocolate one. Hey, do you remember when we used to watch Chocolate Lab?
You've already spoken about it.
Go, go.
Yeah, we covered it in chocolate.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was drunk.
I think you were last week. What did you think then when you heard, the song changed? Did you have any opinions on it? Or were you just like, no, it's still sick?
Yeah, I think I thought it was sick, but I didn't notice that the chanting was missing when it first came out as a proper recorded thing. On the Sex EP. And then it was probably only later on when I went back, I was like, ah, shit, you should have that chanty bit in it. I'd miss it. And I'd be like, oh, that'd be cool if that was
there. I felt like it really matured. This might sound a bit silly, but I feel like the version, right, is a bit busted. It was sung through a smile, which is a technique, isn't it, of voiceover artists. They smile while performing the lines, and it gives a happier sound. And I feel like that is the difference. It's like he smiled while singing the original, and then it matured, became more serious, and it became the reduction of smile gave it that seediness that it needed for the subject matter of I'm fucking someone else's girlfriend. It was more of a wry smile than a CBB smile.
I think the Wayos, to me, they're so pop punk, and I think getting rid of them, it changes the song massively. I think
they're of a different era, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a genre change.
This would be the end of the big pop punk thing. What would this be? They'd be right in this 2010, 11, something like that. And no big pop punk bands are releasing anything then, really, are they?
No.
Well, Green Day are struggling with Uno. Blink-182 releasing Neighbourhoods. What else? Ooh. Are All Time Low still knocking around, making that same song? No, I like them, really.
Good Charlotte, what were they up to?
Do you know what? Oh, when was Keep Your Hands Off My Girl? Or Get Your Hands Off My Girl? I like that song. When was that?
I love that song, bro. God knows. It was on Good Morning Revival, that album. Really vivid red and white album cover, and it had other songs.
The River.
Baptized in the River.
The River had the river on it, with M Shadows. Mate, when that song comes on at the bottom of Smithy Bridge Road.
Joe, I'm going to save that on my Spotify.
That's when you know.
You're from a small town, you're going to grow up fast.
Underneath these lights.
Lights. It is lights. Down in Hollywood on the boulevard. The death. Is it the dead come back to life? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you had your tattoo removed, Junior?
Yeah, I have.
Behind your ear, yeah. Junior used to have an Avenged Sevenfold tattoo behind his ear.
Yes, I did.
I tell people that so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah, well...
I don't even like them.
The only reason I got rid of it is because I wanted to join the RAF and you weren't allowed to have any tattoos that would show while wearing dress uniform. So I got rid of it and then never joined the RAF.
You're too good for the RAF anyway, bro. Sorry to our heroes for saying that.
The NHS.
You got to clap extra hard now at 8 o'clock.
Do you know what constantly shocks me? That somebody else is the number one Spotify song for 1975.
Yeah, I have long since stopped trying to understand how mainstream audiences consume music. Avril Lavigne, I don't want to bring it back to her, but I do. Her most played song isn't Skater Boy.
What is it? The slow one?
Yes.
You've got to factor in for people that didn't exist when Spotify... people who existed before Spotify, they're in a bit of a different position, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
it's complicated.
Yeah,
That's a jam.
Yeah, but I would have thought Skater Boy would have been far and away her most played one. And are you ready for this?
Complicate's better. I'll give you mainstream audience. Why'd you gotta make something so complicated?
Are you familiar with Three Doors Down?
Yeah.
Right? Six.
What's the song about the girl? Is that it?
I don't know. But they've got 6.5 million listeners a month, right? I was like, oh my God, what? Some band from like 15 years ago. 1975 have 9.9. Do you know what I mean?
Fucking hell.
Do I live in some bubble where I just think the 1975 are the biggest band ever and no one can touch them? And then Three Doors Down from 20 years ago are like only 3 million streams behind them. What is going on?
Hey guys, let's talk about sex,
baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
So the first time I heard this is on the fabled CD that Matt brought around to my house. But
can you find the CD?
No.
Is it in your house?
Oh, God. I reckon it might be long gone, you know. But I vividly remember the music video. I vividly remember that black and white video of them in that room and them all. Now I was watching thinking, these guys look pretty cool, actually.
Actually, they might be okay. I've been playing it cool with Matt for a while now. That t-shirt, man, that fake...
Chanel.
It's not fake, it's like edited. It's like, what's the YouTube phrasing when you use the song?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? No, it's like for review or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like for analysis or something, you can use it. But anyway, yeah, so there's a totally fake Chanel t-shirt from 40 Ounce Clothing. Hit up Sam. Complete my sentence, Junior. Q. Sam.
No idea. Duckworth.
No, the guy who does all the artwork and stuff for him.
Yeah, hold up. I might be able to find that.
Hold up.
Hey.
So the guy called Sam, who does all the 1975's artwork and everything forever, had a clothing company called 40 Ounce Clothing.
It's not
Junior, but I've got t-shirts.
It's not Samuel Burgess Johnson, is it?
That is. It's Sam Johnson. So he had 40 Ounce Clothing with his mate Dean, and they made these sick clothes that you couldn't even buy. You were like inboxing their personal like Facebooks going, is it okay if I give you money and you give me the clothes that you make? And they're like, oh, well, we're a bit busy being cool. we might do another run soon. Oh, mate, come on. But they were happy to provide them to Matt Healy. And that Chanel t-shirt, oh my God. I've got the YSL one that said it's a YSL logo with just 40 Ounce written underneath it.
Is he not?
Total copyright theft.
I've seen him in a vest of that YSL vest.
Mm.
So yeah. Same one. Oh, right. So you had it before him, Dan. Is that what you're saying?
Before who?
Before my Healy.
Before Matt.
Yeah. So he copied you. Is that what you're saying?
Sam would send everything. I think Sam would send everything to me. That Chanel t-shirt, though, like I went and tried to buy that. And there's people on forums and stuff. If you Google like Chanel sex t-shirt, there's people like, where can I get this? And there's people making fake copies of the 40 Ounce t-shirt that I could never buy. That is itself a fake Chanel t-shirt, which Chanel would never make. It's fun.
It's and Ross has got the Ross George has got the Dare t-shirt on, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And they're like 40 quid at least. I mean, they were mass produced, but yeah, you're looking at 40 quid at least for one of those.
So Dare is like a Talk to Frank, but America.
I think so.
Basically, it was like a police initiative. And they released those t-shirts as a way to, like, an unironic way to promote it. And then immediately people picked up were like, wouldn't it be funny if we wore this?
While we take drugs.
Basically. And then, like, yeah, everyone who's cool has got one. George Daniel, Anthony from Queer Eye, you know, all the cool cats.
Errol Alkin.
I'm Googling Talk to Frank t-shirts.
I used to have an Oxfam t-shirt once, and I thought that was really cool. I don't think it was
Oxfam.
Genuine. Yeah. I got it off eBay.
A UNICEF t-shirt.
Yeah, but I found that if you walk through the streets of Manchester wearing your fake charity t-shirt that I used to do, people would avoid you. And it was brilliant.
Whoa.
People think you...
And now people would clap.
Yeah, probably would. But people used to think I was a chugger, so I used to... wear my Oxfam t-shirt and people would just like clear the path in front of me as I was walking down Market Street. It was brilliant. Clipboard as well. I didn't really, but
Taking people's credit card details.
Yeah. Oh, a great idea. I've got a wedding to pay for.
You got Oxfam t-shirts to buy.
Yeah. Invest in some charity t-shirts.
But that music video is so, like, it's so simple, but it's so cool. Like, I don't... It's not quite like the introduction, perhaps, to the mainstream that The City was, but just in terms of, like, what they're all about and what they're all about at that time in, like, the band's career. I think it does the job perfectly.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a little phase, wasn't it? The phase of the practice room wait. Yeah. So what we're talking about is the phase of the practice room videos with ghosts, sex. I don't think they did a City one, did they, in that room?
No, not that I'm aware of.
What else did they do there? Did he just do sex and ghosts?
Yes.
Come on, John.
Yeah. What's the other one called? The cellophane house one. What's that one called? The Go?
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, that's it.
Oh, The Go as well. So on that, they must have gone into a studio and done The Go, Lost Boys, Robbers, Sex, and Chocolate. Like a 5-song EP.
No, there's one more.
If you went to
Wilmslow
High School and you've got that.
I swear there's one more.
I know a lot of people, like, on the early YouTube videos used to talk about Finelope, but that for me is Scary Monsters era, which is not the same quality as those.
Right, I found the full list of tracks from that era. Did we mention six? Because that's what I've got here. So we've got Chocolate, The City, Ghosts, The Go, Lost Boys, and Robbers.
Yeah, they all came up.
Yeah, what we were missing was we were missing The City, because to me The City was some weird demo off someone's laptop. It wasn't that produced, beautiful thing in the way that Sex and Chocolate and Lost Boys and Robbers were.
Yeah, I love that video. I don't know, I said I buried it that. I don't know what it is, it just feels so, like, honest. It's just so, like, oh, I want to make a video for the song that we've got. You know what I mean?
So, I think we've only discussed the bedroom version, right?
Yeah.
From the EP era, or from, like, the pre-18 era, but the actual sex video is this really, like, pretentious American film.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think I've only seen it once or twice. Yeah.
To me, it's not the sex video. Is them black and white in that room. It's not this.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's weird. Do you know, right? It's weird because it's like the same video was black and white. Chocolate was black and white. And they released this. And it's just... This feels like something somebody made for them.
Yeah, it does. It's just not right, is it?
They did those shots of them. I think it's quite cool how it's they're looking at them through the box and then they're in that room and at one point they're jumping on like a mattress. That sounds a bit corny, but you've seen the video. You know what it's like.
Josh has got his shaved head, Junior.
He's got his shaved head?
Yeah, in the sex video.
Ross.
Sorry, Josh. Well, I was only... Ross, that one. The one who plays bass.
But... And then, like, even though Girls is in colour, that's such a them idea, isn't it, the whole thing?
Mm. You know, yeah,
we're not a pop band. Yeah, it needs to be black and white for a start. But, yeah, it's just weird, this version. It's just so, like... And especially at the start, just like, oh, do you know, there's a... What does that girl say? Something like, there's a graveyard for all the lights in Las Vegas that they don't use. Don't you think that's sad? It just feels so, like... To me, this music video feels like one of those American indie films that you first watch when you're 15 and you're just like, this is the wokest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then you look back and you think, maybe 500 Days of Summer isn't that good. Do you know what I mean?
How dare you? 500 Days of Summer is a masterpiece.
Yeah, I do like that film.
Yeah,
it's hard, isn't it? To anyone who was looking back on that original video, and if they were, that's when they got into 1975, this was never going to be, the video was never going to be what they wanted
I
it to
I think
be.
It's one of those things where I think mainstream would it's be just, into this. And I think this is what the sort of thing that mainstream would associate with this band. But I think looking back now, I just don't think it fits. And I've seen, there's an interview with Matty where he's asked about it. And he says, like, oh, you know, we weren't that bothered. It wasn't in colour. It wasn't in black and white. It was just, like, another thing we were doing. So maybe they had, I'm sure they had some input, but it just feels, like I say, it feels like something made for them.
Yeah.
And then they've added their stuff of them playing the song in like the edits and stuff. And it's all been put together.
I'm trying to find, dude. Do you remember that Sex was used on a like ski, snowboard, like winter sports company advert? And I'm trying. It might have been the first time that I heard the prop studio version of Sex, because I remember being like, "Whoa, whoa!" I thought Josh was like shocked. Like, oh my god, give me my phone.
Yeah, I do. I can't. Yeah, it was on an advert, wasn't it?
Right, let's do one of my favourite things, which is go on setlist.com. And I mentioned this in an early episode, but on the current, well, not current because we're in lockdown, but on the last tour rotation, they played this song second. Now, I know it's their band and they can do what they want, but I think they should stop immediately because I am not okay with that.
Same.
People, Sex, Two Time is the first three songs in the current rotation. Sex should be last or second. Sex is an encore song.
Absolutely.
Second. The thing is with Sex, they play it and it feels like the end. And I'm like, when they end that song live, I'm like, oh, that's it now. And it's like, no, it's not.
I'm ready for us.
Oh, God, it's such a big... My biggest qualm with this is that I feel like moving it there feels like they're toying with ideas of what the new encore or end of, like, set thing can be. So, Chocolate, the sound, Give Yourself a Try, wasn't it? What else is on the... there's another one that's on there. Love It If We Made It. They're the four sort of encore things they're doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. That, to me, might be like the phasing Sex out.
Surely not.
They're never going to phase out Chocolate. I don't think they're going to phase out Robbers. But I think them two are... Because they don't play the city.
No.
They don't always play Girls. I'm looking at this one. Where's this? So the last gig they played was in Dublin. What did they play off the first album? Menswear, which is, I mean, that's not that common, really. God, what did they play off the first album? Not much, Jesus. They played four songs. They played Chocolate, Menswear, Robbers and Sex off the first album. You know what? Obviously, I don't want to see Sex be phased out, but you know they're going to be touring Notes on a Conditional Form like after all this is over, and there's a lot of stuff to play. Like, I think these are the last times really we're seeing Milk. We're going to see what else is in here that's probably not going to be seen that often.
I just don't think you can really. I know what you're saying.
Junie's not going to see him if they don't play Falling For You.
Exactly. I need to know when to go for a wee.
I'm not saying it's the dregs.
You've got to watch the IV podcast to understand that.
I understand what you mean by phasing things out, but the inclusion of Menswear is a sign to me that nothing really gets phased out. Like, things will be in favour and fall out of favour, but...
But I mean as a staple of the set.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like you say, Menswear, no. But I think when I saw them, I think they played Menswear at the Manchester gig. And I think my friends who watched them in Glasgow, I think they got Undo in that same kind of slot. Because obviously, like, these things are... You know, the set list are obviously they order in like a certain way, and there'll be a couple moments where there's some songs can slip in and out.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. But I don't want it to happen, and I don't necessarily believe it will happen. But I've got a feeling that because moving Sex up that high might be the start of seeing it, maybe seeing 1975 gigs without them playing the song.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so they've got, like, the solid few that will get played every night that tour, and they've got some that they just say, these are interchangeable, and you feel like they're going from the solid into the interchangeable.
Yes, that's a very concise way of putting it.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard for us being with it from the start, but when you think, like, well, we've got to fit If You're Too Shy in now, there might be other similar absolute jams on the new album. Yeah. The sound's always up there.
Sound, yeah.
Oh, but no, I'd still sex.
Yeah,
over.
It's same for me. Like, the sound. I mean, my God, I think I said this on, like, the very first episode when I'd just come off the back of seeing him, but when it drops into the solo, and I think they started Mike Kenstone, it's like 1, 2, 3, jump. I have never seen an entire venue do that, like, react in that way. Everyone was jumping in the seats, obviously standing. It was going off, and I was like, oh my God.
I've yet to see a time that he's ever got to 4 in that. It's always,
I hope,
1, 2.
Fucking jump!
Exactly.
I hope you've written a formal letter of complaint.
I'm on my second draft.
Right, so now, after a little downbeat in maybe phasing out after the live set, I go first. Shall we do our other feature?
Yes, we should.
Dan.
Yes, Josh.
For those that don't know, Dan of Pause It, Play It fame has George Daniel of the 1975's fame phone number. And this feature is called, when was George Daniel's last seen on WhatsApp?
So bear in mind that today, on the day we're recording this podcast, If You're Too Shy, Then Let Me Know debuted on Animax Radio 1 show, hottest record in the world in the UK. Is there any other radio station? Maybe somewhere where Zane Lowe works, maybe, but there aren't any others. George Daniel's last scene was 7:35, like right at the end of the song, basically.
Ooh.
Interesting.
So for the feature, I'm going to find the funniest genius annotation and read it aloud. I don't know if that's the consistent name, but it's what I'm calling it today. Just, you know what, in fairness, the genius annotations are pretty good and they're pretty in-depth, although one of the sentences is, however, Matty may not necessarily have convinced her into vaginal intercourse. Very specific there. Oh, God, right. I mean, the lyrics of this song, is there a line that isn't, like, just perfect in the structure of the whole thing? The answer is no. End of show. Dan, lyrics is always your thing. If you want, you know,
is
you want to start
it
us
thing,
off.
Though?
It's
hey your guys, thing. Welcome to the lyrics. Welcome to the lyrics corner with Dan here now. So, and this is how it starts. We've already referenced that is all to do with talking about LCD Down System, bring them into it. There you go. Thanks, Josh. And, like, maybe the whole subject matter is then supposed to be referenced as some little side note. Where's your mates at? It's a sick jam. So I think that is a great way to start a song. And a great, we've talked about Matt Healy disarming people. Imagine if people would have gone, hey, Matt, you know that song that you've made? It sounds a bit like LCD Sound System, you know. There's like, there's a refrain in it. Robbed off Judy, I don't know. So I'm not going to do that. So it's like, there's a refrain in it, and there's like this pedal note all the way through it, and you're a big rip-off merchant, and he's like, shit, I better reference that and make it seem like I meant to do it, so I'll change the first line to the same line. And this is how it starts.
So just go into that, then this is how it starts line. We're about to get deep into nerdy theory. So it's called prosody. When in music, when you, the lyrics represent what is happening in the music. So a really obvious example of this is in Hammer Time, where he goes, stop, Hammer Time. And when he says stop, all the music stops. Like another one would be a more like, what's that song that goes down, 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 down. That's the same because as he's singing down, the pitch is going, or the notes, sorry, he starts descending in pitch of when he's singing it. You get more subtler ones like in, like there's a song by called by Hockey Dad called Itch, which is where in the second verse he sings the word glitch, and as he does, underneath you get all these crazy like guitar glitches and like these distortion sounds. Yeah, great stuff. But this is an example of this. So starting the song off with, and this is how it starts. It goes back to the sort of thing we said about sort of them songwriting beyond the ears. But it's a really clever thing that pop music does that sort of like, grabs you immediately. Mm. Back to Lyrics Corner with Dan.
I don't know. I just think if you're 17 and your mum and dad have bought you a car, then
absolutely,
you've got girls in it.
I never had that.
You should let me drive there around on my gun and... Uh-oh.
Insert guilty first.
You take your shoes off.
Why a van?
Shirt
looks
so good.
I don't think he had a van.
I don't think he had a van.
I don't know.
When it's just hanging off your back. My shirt looks good when it's hanging off your back. That's like a nice little line, isn't it? There's the opposite there. My and your. And what's happened? Why is she wearing his clothes? Oh, they've had. Oh, the song's
hang on, before we even get into this further. What do you think about just calling the song sex? And like, it's so, that's not subtle. Do you know what I mean? It's so on the nose. It's so like, I don't know. And somebody else called a song that, I don't think it'd work. You know, like, a similar thing would be like if they called chocolate weed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why does it work? Just calling the song sex and then obviously calling the EP sex.
I think it's because there's nothing subtle about the song, I don't think. I think the song, you could call it An Encounter, which I know is another one of their songs, and I think that would make it too pretentious.
Yeah.
I think just the structure of the song, the way it just thumps, that's probably not a great... what's the word? It's just got such a good timbre to it that I think it's not trying to be subtle. It's just...
No.
This one's about sex.
I think sex is such a great concept. Like, I'm on Genius now as well, so we're not giving you any content that you couldn't get anywhere else here. But Matt Healy via Last FM Sessions, sex is a love letter to every prudish 17-year-old girl. Everyone's been there with that indecisive, flirty girl who just can't make her mind up. It gets labelled as being quite brash, but it's very romantic. That's me at my most romantic anyways. So maybe it's a reflection of what I'm like as a person. We wrote it when I was 19. And to me, I don't know, it's just... It's a song about sex, but isn't everything about sex? Sex sells, and it's... So when you're talking about calling a song it, to me, it's like... It's a whole era where your life's defined by it. Your life's not defined by sex when you're 50. But when you're 19, it's... Almost everything's a reference to it.
I think I've got a great answer to why it's okay to call it sex.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, lad.
Are you ready? Because it's not about sex. It's about sex on the surface, but it's the tension. It's that naughtiness that you know you shouldn't really be doing this. It's not about the sex.
I'll accept that. That's why we pay you them big monies. Do you know what, Matt? In fact, both of you, because you've both made similar points. It goes back to the line where it's like, there's only minutes before I drop you off. All we seem to do is talk about sex. Dan, you said it was, that's kind of what your life really revolves around when you're that age. And then Matt, you said that, I mean, you can relate that to the tension. All we do is talk about sex. Not all we do is have sex. We don't, you know what I mean?
No sex actually happens in that song.
No,
like it's implied that it.
How
has
this song
happened.
Has just got better for me. It's just got better. How is that possible?
Yeah,
Oh, I like it when this happens. This is sick when it actually like, grows like, within, oh, like, within the podcast.
The fact that she's got his shirt, but that implies that this isn't the first encounter they've had. She's been around to his house, she's rubbed his top. But that doesn't
I think she might have just put it on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
From the farm.
It could be like end of a house party, some people have gone to bed, you know, some people have left. It's just them two.
Yeah.
You know, nothing can go on, but she's there teasing him wearing his shirt. Wearing his fake Chanel shirt.
Yeah, so that's it, isn't it? It's not about sex. It's about the thought of sex and the prospect of sex.
And it the way it just comes out after those sort of lyrics that are telling you a bit of a story, you know, she's got his shirt on. Use your hands and my spare time. We've got one thing in common. It's this tongue of mine. Like, because when you put your tongue in each other's mouths, you share it or whatever. It's disgusting, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
There's only minutes before I drop you off. All we seem to do is talk about sex, and then you get it. Then you get it for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could go back and hear it for the first time, because you're not expecting this. She's got a boyfriend anyway. There's the hook, man. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, the sort of dropping these things in. And then I'd love that line. I love your friend when I saw his film. He's got a funny face, but I like that because he still looks cool.
Yeah. That's just small talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that film that your friend made, yeah. It's all right, that, yeah.
I could almost see it as a... I'm better looking than him, though, aren't I?
Yeah.
Like,
validate me.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Josh, pretty much every line in this is brilliant, but I love, now we're on the bed in my room and I'm about to fill his shoes. That's just, that is just, oh, that's filth. Because we know what that means.
So, I get, yeah. So for the international audience, big shoes to fill is a commonly used, cliche the right word? What's the word that's like cliche
passé,
but different?
No.
Platitude, I think I was going for. Maybe. I'll come up with that after a few beers and it means what I meant. It's a remark or statement, especially one with a moral content that has been used too often to be interesting or thoughtful. That's exactly what I fucking meant.
Very well done.
Yeah. So it's like it's when a phrase becomes a cliche, it's like it becomes a platitude. So, there's big shoes to fill. Say somebody's done a great job and you've got to take over from them. And it's like, but then to about to fill his shoes, he's referencing that platitude, but he's also talking about filling a vagina with his penis.
He is. But then just that whole verse is brilliant. Like, I could just feel the tension. I can imagine that conversation. I'm about to fill his shoes, but you say no. It's like, okay, I'm just going to respect this. She's saying no.
Yeah.
But then, bastard turns it on his head, doesn't he? He's got an ace to play. Does he take care of you? Or could it easily fill his shoes? Is he any good in bed, love? Oh, am I going to do a better job?
And also, is he big enough for bed? Maybe. If he could easily fill his shoes.
Next line. No, we're just outside of town and you're making your way down. Official annotation from the 1975. Yep, that's about blowjobs.
We're now into... I'm not trying to stop you, love.
Yeah, that is important, isn't it? It is so northern, and it's almost... I think the love... I'm not trying to stop you, love. Like, it's got assonance or consonance, I forget which is which, that can rhyme with fuck in a certain way, so it works for that reason, but I also think it shows like his northernness, and it's a bit misogynistic, and I think now we could probably look on it and go, oh, I was taking the piss, but I think back then I think he was a bit of a I'm the fucking man.
It's that is a stark, like, there's no interpretation to that, and like you say, Matt, the song's about the tension, like none of it is about, you know, we talk about sex.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the bed in my room, I bet to finish, but you say no. But this is just like, and it's a great, it's a last line of like what you think of like a verse. It's literally just out there. It's just, if we're going to do anything, we might as well just fuck. It's like it's building up. You know, the lyrics are almost like it's building up to them actually fucking for the first time. But the song does it as well. And the song builds up to that line where it's just like sort of the blow off, possibly wrong term to use, to it. But it's just like, you know, he's just putting it out there. We might as well just fuck.
Like, I'm not, as well, in the line that he's saying, I'm not trying to stop you sucking me off, like, I really want you to continue. But why don't we take it further? I think it's, I honestly don't know if a lot of this song would make it past Matt Healy's internal dialogue in 2020.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
Do you know what I mean? Because this was 11 years ago when he wrote this. He was a 19-year-old lad. He wasn't educated to the way he's educated himself now. And he also didn't have the responsibility that he has now to be a positive influence on the youth of today. He was just some lad that liked having sex with hit birds. And listen, we stalk those girls on Facebook and they were usually...
We need to do the very end of the song, like the coda, the outro.
Well, we've not covered the... Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought you meant the musically, but you mean lyrically, do you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Oh, it's a big one as well. The outro is so good. I mean, there's something in it, though, I'm sure, Matt. I'll give you the pleasure of getting onto. You've got your tongue pierced anyway. You and your high tops any day. You and your skinny jeans anyway. You and your fit friends anyway. I take them all at any day. And then the line I love, they've all got back combs anyway. Yeah. Now, that was so mid-noughties.
Yeah, yeah.
Indie girl with the Amy Winehouse back comb and the big side fringe. And it is just the sort of girls that Matt Healy would fancy like back in like 2008 or whatever when he was like 16 years old.
Yeah. Urbis.
Urbis kids, isn't it? It's Urbis kids in the high tops, the black skinny jeans, the back. And I love, like, you said it's, you know, the line, I'm not trying to stop you, love is such like a northern thing as well. Yeah. But then, like, just slip it in, calling people fit is so, like, British, isn't it?
Like, yeah, you and your fit friends.
Yeah,
like, anyway.
Oh, she's well fit. It's just so summer, yeah. Like, where is that from? Where does it come from? But it's such a British thing. I assume it's a British thing. I just can't.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard an American say something like that.
Yeah, the fit in England means sexually attractive as well hot. As if you want to actually talk about somebody's physical fitness and their ability to run and do exercise and shit, you have to say physical.
Yeah,
fit.
Their VO2 max.
You've got to do the. You've got to distinguish. Yeah. I think it's a great end to the song structurally and musically because it's different to what we've had. It's not like, because the song doesn't have a chorus, so you can't do like your big double chorus or anything like that. It's just a nice coda. It's a nice ending. I feel there's something, Matt, that you might want to mention.
Yes. My favourite part of the entire song, despite the fantastic lyrics, the fantastic building of tension, the subject matter, all very good, all pales into insignificance when Adam Hand's finger tapping comes in. Oh my God.
It sounds so good. Finger tapping in like an indie pop song.
Yeah, but not only is it finger tapping, it sticks a slide in there as well. A finger tap slide. I was like, first time I clocked it, I was like, oh yeah, finger tapping. That's cool. Oh my God. I think I nearly fell off my chair. That was a poorly constructed sentence. I'll start again. I nearly fell off my chair when I got that finger tap slide in. Oh, so good.
It is beautiful. Are we going to talk about the missing line?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about it.
So, I think is it the last line? They've all got back combs anyway, you've got boyfriends anyway. And on the original version that, you know, was on MySpace, it said, I'm going to fuck you anyway.
A bit rapey.
I think wise omission.
Yeah, but it's... he's very interesting. You watch him get big, and we talked about him being a lad or whatever. Not in that sort of 90s loaded way, but, you know, gradually getting more and more woke to the point where there's been a bit of an intervention there. Somebody said, Matt, no, we can't say... Or maybe he might have intervened on himself. Don't get me wrong, I'll give him the credit if it's his, but that... It's interesting that that conversation was either had with himself in his own head or somebody else has had a conversation with him to go, listen, it's provocative enough. We don't need to say that.
The line that I'm going to fuck you anyway, that it crosses the line of tension to the like the obvious then.
Yeah.
And it's...
And I think we can say he didn't mean that he was going to rape the girl like no, in the original but, song. But like,
yeah, it's it just is. Too. It's and then I know what you mean. Like if you include the, but you say no, but you say no, and that line together, then it's a little too much.
Yeah.
But just with you say no line, I think it's quite. I think you understand where that's coming from, with that line at the end.
Yeah, it's saying no to the idea rather than saying no to the physical act, isn't it? It's, and whatever happens, happens. But, yeah, I just think that's really interesting that they chose to cut that line, and clearly there was a progression. You wrote this song when you were a kid, mate. Not a kid anymore. This is going to be a crazy anthem for all your fans. Let's make sure that it's right. And it is right. They got it to a point where it is right. They did all the right shit, in my opinion. But it's that the progress of the song and the way it developed through that and those conversations is very interesting, I think. And I don't really think that you'll get that sort of insight from a lot of bands, do you know what I mean? Where a song was out there in one form, it disappeared and came back in another, and the translation between the two is, you know, we're lucky to be able to talk about it like that.
Right, so final thoughts on... the masterpiece that is Sex. Matt, you can go first this time.
Just like The City, I feel like they've produced a song which is of a later stage in their career. They, you know, they've this. It's a quality that is second, third album when they've really mastered the craft. But it's EP. It's before the first album, isn't it? That's when they wrote it. It's just a great song. Yeah. I don't feel like there's anything extra we can say. I think we've really gone on about this a lot and how much we love it, but it's just a great song, masterpiece. Yeah. Done.
I think we've... I mean, yeah, like I said at the top of the show, this is my favourite song, not only by the band, but ever. I think it's a perfect song. I honestly do. I think it's a perfect pop song because it uses pop song formulas, it uses things, but it twists them, it inverts them. The lyrics are just so good. Like you say, it's all about that tension. It builds to that huge crescendo mid-song, that sort of bridge bit. Live is phenomenal.
Yeah, it goes off.
You know, I can't say enough, you know. Like, this is one of those, and I think this is right, the reason why I think, well, one of the reasons why we all like this band so much. When I listen to this song, it just makes me so happy to listen to. Even like, I was listening to it today, obviously, before the show, and I was just like, oh my God, the amount of times I have heard this song, but I love it so much. And I listened to it, and I want to listen to it again.
I'm going to...
You know what I mean? So go on, you go, Dan.
I was just going to say, I'm going to just... It's anthemic. That's what it is.
It is.
You've been in a crowd, and the encore's come on, and you've heard that pedal note from Matt, and you just go in, yes. This is my time, man. And like to hear a whole arena going, she's got a boyfriend anyway. Like, it's crazy. That energy is beautiful. And it's, you know, we're privileged to be a part of it because that part of that song, there's just not, I don't know. I don't think there's much that really replicates it.
Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, maybe if you want to go see The Killers. No, but it is that sort of thing. When you're on the floor in that arena and everybody's going, she's got a boyfriend anyway. It's like, yeah, we are an army, mate. Come on.
I've been stood on top of bars with my hands in the air going, that's just the price I pay. Destiny is calling me. That's probably video footage of it as well.
It's just like, the bigger it is, the more alcohol is required.
Yeah, it's an anthem, isn't it? It's, yeah, we could have stretched this on for another hour talking about it, but I think we've been quite concise there. relatively, anyway.
For us.
Right, yeah, so thank you again to everybody listening. So if you want to get in touch, you can tweet us at the1975pod on Twitter, or you can email us at pauseitplaypod@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Josh William without the vowels. Matt, your turn.
I'll be sitting comfortably. So my handles for both Instagram and Twitter are Junior, but it is spelt Jew, J-E-W, like the follower of the Jewish religion, knee, like the bend in your leg, or like either or, Jew knee or.
Thank you, Matthew.
I'm not on social media, so just text the other boys if you want my number, and they'll tell you that, no, I'm a married man, and you can just come back to the podcast and listen to me there.
So listen, the dance starts is here every week.
Whether you like it or not.
I think if you listen at this point and you've listened before, if you could like the show or rate us 5 stars on Apple, subscribe on Spotify, do the other things on the platforms that I don't
use. Do the things. if you're on Deezer, maybe just question where you're going with your life. Have a good hard look at yourself in the mirror.
But no one will be listening on Deezer because we're not on there. Deezer, if you sort it out, I will put this podcast on there, but that is on you. Also, you know, share this with people who like the 1975, because obviously we want to grow the show. We want more people to listen. And also, we sort of want to get guests on. You know, like, we'd love to get, like, musicians and other, like, massive 1975 fans on. So
mainly Matt Healy, though.
If we can grow the show, that's the aim. I mean, look, let's be honest. I'm going to say that. I think if any of them that weren't Matty Healy would be on, they probably wouldn't give us much.
No, I like the idea that that Matt would try and get on, and we'd be like, nah, can we have ham? Jamie, is it or just, no, we don't want, no, send ham.
I'd rather have Han on. I think he would give you a different sort of insights.
Do you know what? If it was just him, though, because he never talks in interviews, really, does he? Because he can't get a word in.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's, Adam Han, we want you to be our guest.
You know, they tried it at festivals once. I don't know if like George has lost his voice or whatever, but they chucked Han on there. Ross is at the bottom of the list. Like, it's like Matt, George, Han, Ross. Like, but I remember what like Matt and Han being on there. And, like, somebody asked Han a direct question. He was just like, home or back into the bushes.
Brilliant. Right, let's finish up. So yeah, thank you again to everybody listening. We will be back next week every Wednesday, which is when we release, with I'm gonna say talk, because on last week's episode I got this deck song wrong. I'm gonna double check that it's talk. I'm sure it's talk.
It's talk.
There we go. So we'll talk about talk. Oh god, I should write headlines. Right, thank you again to everyone listening, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Love you, babe.